This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, back here with you. And thanks to Jefferson Smith for filling in, doing such a great job yesterday. And Paul Manafort just got busted and sent off to jail. And we'll get into that and everything else with Congressman Mark Pocan. He had a committee meeting on Wednesday, so he is with us today live on Friday. So it's the Friday edition of Middays with Mark. Congressman Pocan taking your calls for the hour. He represents Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives, but also is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan, his website, pocan.house.gov. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So, first of all, your thoughts on what's going on with Manafort, this thing that's at the very top of the news.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, I heard applause is how I heard about it. People heard the news. My only reaction was there are now two electronic monitoring bracelets available. So maybe we could reach out to, Jared and Ivanka, see if they need some next. Of course, we could separate them because I guess it's a policy of separating families with this administration. But it's amazing that how this continues to progress. And, Giuliani's comments about Mueller just make it even more amazing.
Refresh my memory on the Giuliani's comments. Which ones?
The most recent one, exactly. I mean, right? How many different crazy things can he say in a day? It's hard. But his most recent ones, he's talking about saying that Mueller should have to suspend the investigation today, given the IG report on the FBI, which is not connected at all to this. But the fact that he's now calling for it, there's a real important project going on, Tom, that MoveOn and other groups, Public Citizen and others, are involved. But MoveOn, I know specifically, and don't mean to single out a single group, that is got it so that if something happens where Rosenstein or Mueller are fired, that immediately they will be scheduling across the country rallies and protests to set up over that. And if people reach out to MoveOn, they can get on the list to be notified in their area. In fact, depending on when it happens in a day, there's two different times they'll have a rally. They're very, very organized, but we're going to have a big, big response if something happens. The fact that Giuliani said it makes me a little more concerned that every step they get closer to having something really bad happen on this, they're going to try to get this done, and we just have to be ready.
Remarkable. And I understand that you are joining Jeff Merkley to go follow up on this this brutal policy that Sarah Huckabee Sanders and our attorney general. I mean, this is the weird part. Jeff Sessions quoting Romans 13, a verse in the Bible that was used by the British during the to argue against the American Revolution. You should follow the law is basically what Paul said, and then was quoted extensively throughout the slavery era as justification for slavery. And pretty much has not been used, according to several different history professors. The Washington Post had a great piece about this yesterday. Has literally not been used since the 1860s by anybody, because the American tradition is to always, be skeptical of the law.
This may be, there are so many reprehensible things this administration has done, but this particular policy of ripping families apart intentionally. I was talking to Representative Jayapal, who last weekend went to a detention facility in Seattle, where they now have overflow folks from Texas going up to. So not only are you separated from your children, but now you might be sent half a country away from your children. And it's just a disgusting, immoral policy by a party that claims to care about family values. Of course, we've known for years that that's not true, maybe Adam's family values. But in this case, this is about as immoral and wrong as you can get. And, Jeff Merkley went and tried to get down there and wasn't allowed in. So he's got a few of us, I think about a half a dozen or so of us, are going down on Sunday. I think there's another delegation on Monday. There's a couple planned for next weekend. So members are getting down there. But, Jeff really was the first one to get kind of turned back. So we're glad that we're now able to get in, visit these facilities, visit that former Walmart that's now a detention facility, visit with the children, and see this firsthand. This is the minimum we should be doing as members of Congress.
Right. And Trump this morning on television repeatedly asserted that this had to be done because of Democrats.
Yeah, Trump, I mean, again,
this is a lie.
Immoral. I mean, this is his administration's policy. He could change it. And immoral that Paul Ryan is saying, okay, it's wrong, but now we have to have a legislative fix because of a court case when it's not, it's the administration policy. If this is a priority, which it should be, we should have this on the floor of Congress. You call us in to take care of it so people aren't separated from their families. And instead, they have it thrown into a bill next week that also adds all the funding for the border. They have no intention of honestly fixing this.
So do you think that this is actually a brilliant strategic move where, you know, we do this horrible thing to these kids, we're basically taking them hostage, and we're blaming the Democrats, and the only way that we're going to let these kids out is if you give us the money for the wall?
We're not going to go for it, and we're going to continue to fight it. The best part is public outrage. I've seen emails from people that are not your typical folks who call us on a variety of issues, that this is a doctor in town who isn't, super, super political. I saw he tweeted, he goes, "I understand single-issue voters now," and it was with a link to this article. So
right.
I think they are not going to win at all on this. They think they're playing some kind of game of politics.
Well, that's why he's blaming it on Democrats.
Elements of their caucus. Exactly, and it's all for their racist element that they have within their party. Well,
right.
We're not going to put up with it. That's why we're starting to get down there. And I'm glad that there's multiple delegations of Democrats going down there because this is outrageous. And until we have the majority, we can't maybe put something on the floor directly. But we're going to work to direct action with a lot of groups to get this done.
Yeah, and I would guarantee if these were white kids, English-speaking white kids, they would not be being separated from their families. This is...
No.
Okay, let's pick up some phone calls here. David in Greenfield, California, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Thanks for taking my call. As Trump replaces White House cabinet staffers with increasingly swampy yes men and women, the only qualifications Trump is looking for are loyalty to Trump, a willingness to lie to America, and following his orders even if they break the rules and laws. H.R. McMaster's was the last one to leave the administration without the Trump stink on them. Trump replaced him with John Bolton, who can't wait to get us into a war with Iran.
Yeah, so David, what's your question for the congressman? Or did you just want him to react to your statement?
I just wanted to know if he felt that the Republicans are getting tired of the swampiness of the employees that Donald Trump's putting into his administration.
Congressman?
Yeah, David, I guarantee the public, including people who identify as Republican, are getting tired of this because we're seeing it in the polls. We did a poll, the Progressive Caucus, now a couple months back in 30 congressional districts, competitive congressional districts. When we asked the swamp question, it's off the charts among Democrats, Republicans, independents. But the swamp is not as Donald Trump identifies it because he just dredged it bigger and built a high-rise luxury condo on it. It is big corporations, big banks, big special interests that people rightly identify. It's when Bernie Sanders talked about the economy being rigged. This is just another way of saying it. So the president was onto something with the swamp, but you're right. He just put his own swamp creatures in. And I thought the most interesting statement, not the most interesting, but one of the interesting statements coming out of North Korea was when the president mentioned how whenever Kim would say something, how his staff would immediately respond and listen. He goes, "I wish my staff acted like that." He wants to be a dictator. I mean, this is just crazy.
Yeah, he in business, he always was a dictator. So I think that's his default mode. Congressman Mark Pocan with us, taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark, Friday edition.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
More of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. And welcome back. Chaz in Lakewood, Washington, watching Free Speech TV on a Roku box. Hey, Chaz, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Now's the Drovia, comrade, is another day in Trumpistan.
Indeed.
Good morning, Tom. Good afternoon, Congressman.
Hey, Chaz.
I, want to ask is that the GOP, a holy Bible, and I'm just wondering how they're going to recover from the Trump administration.
The Republican Party?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Congressman?
Yeah, Chaz, a great question, because this is not the Republican Party that either was just a free market Republican Party or just a socially conservative Republican Party. This is now a cult, right? Donald Trump espouses some Republican values in what he does, but he also has made it just this kind of winging it of government. On trade is a classic example. I have no idea what the trade policy out of this administration is. On the surface, he said some things I agreed with. He's executing it very ineptly. But, you know, where is the Republican Party on trade now? Where is the Republican Party on family values when you're separating families at the border? I mean, they have ruined any branding that they had in order to be a cult for Donald Trump. And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have been completely complicit. So, you know what? If this ruins the Republican Party, I'm not shedding a tear. Maybe this is what the country needs.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Dan, in Baldwin, Michigan, watching Free Speech on DirecTV. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Say, Congressman Tom, seeing these people are people of color coming across their border, do you think that the hypocrites and the evangelists have something against because they're mostly Catholic?
Boy, interesting, Dan, proposition. I think it has far more to do with the color of their skin than anything. And, you know, let's remember, there are a number of people who claim to be religious who actually worship money more than any religion, and they're going to do whatever brings them more money in. So, I don't necessarily look to that community for any moral guidance, but I do think as a country, our moral values are based around not separating families, period. And this is an exact opposite of what, I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, this is an action that's counter to our values as a nation, and that's why it must stop.
It's an interesting point, though. I'm guessing probably close to 100% of the people who are, whose families are being separated and who are in detention are Catholic. I mean, that's the principal religion of Central and South America. And the Pope this morning tweeted out a quote from Deuteronomy about, welcome the stranger. And, and obviously a slap in the face to Trump. The Catholic Church has incredible moral or substantial moral authority around the world, and certainly a large megaphone. Might they be we have 10 seconds to the break. Might they be a help in this, Congressman?
Absolutely. I've worked as liberation theologist in Central and South America on a lot of peace and justice issues and other things as well. But in this particular case, I think the color of the skin is the only thing that people are looking at on the right.
Indeed. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour, Middays with Mark. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. And Congressman Mark Pocan on the line with us taking your calls for the hour. Glenn in New York City. Glenn, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, it seems to me since 2008 that we've, since the crash, that we've had more Mexicans leaving into Mexico than coming here. And south of Mexico, it's been same coming and same going. There's more people south of the border going than coming here, so there's no need for a wall. It's moot. I don't understand why this isn't getting out there.
Yeah, Glenn, great point. I think in the last decade, you're right. I think the migration has been a negative migration, people going back. So, again, there is no need for this. Here's what's interesting on what we're going to be doing next week. We're voting on this compromise among Republicans on DACA, which actually puts money in for a wall in order to bring families back together and to try to find some sort of DACA fix, although it's not the fix that we want, and we're not going to vote for the funding. And yesterday, Paul Ryan said the president was enthusiastic about it, and today the president said he won't sign it. So I don't know if they're not talking to each other or what. At the end of the day, Donald Trump really doesn't want the wall that he tells you he wants every single day. He wants to be able to talk about the wall every single day at rallies so he can get the admiration of his fans and some racists and others. But he doesn't actually want to solve this at all. So, you know, great point. One, there's not a need. Two, I don't think he actually wants to have a wall. He just wants to be able to talk about it so he can continue having rallies with adoration to fill his narcissistic needs.
Jared in Downington, Pennsylvania. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Yes. Hello, Tom, and hello, Congressman Mark Pocan. I just want to get your position on this. President Trump on yesterday unfroze U.S. State Department funding for $6.6 million worth is now going to the White Helmets, the so-called Syrian civil defense. I have a lot of questions about this sketchy organization. As you know, the so-called chemical attack that happened in April, which according to reporting by Robert Fisk, who went to East Ghouta at the time, says that there was no chemical attack at the time. And the group that filmed that this particular incident that General Mattis used as justification for the attacks said came from the White Helmets themselves. So I'm just curious what your position is on the White Helmets and this recent ratcheting up of tension in Syria, in the South Syria, Southwest Syria.
Yeah, so I did not see that, so I can't comment specifically to the article. I apologize. What I can tell you is I have seen no evidence that I've seen through any classified or unclassified setting yet that's made me believe that there were not chemical attacks, so I think that's probably the easiest way for me to answer that.
Alan in Springfield, Washington. Alan, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, I think that instead of building a physical wall, they're using the separation of the children from the mothers as a kind of a metaphoric wall. This is their meanest form of wall they could put together, because they pretty much are just mean, nasty people, Republicans are. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, Alan, you make a great point, right? I mean, you know, what they're obviously their intention is to try to make people not come here, but you know, if I was in a place where I thought my family was in harm's way on a regular basis and they wanted to have some opportunity and we, you know, are a country with hope for tremendous opportunity, I would, you know, potentially be trying to get into a country as well. And the message that they're trying to send is that, you know, we'll separate your families if you come here to do all this. And people are still willing to risk it because the risks are so great, often where they're coming from violence and other issues. So, you know, you're right. It is kind of a different sort of way to have a wall. It's another way to try to stop people from coming. But the bottom line is, you know, we are a nation of immigrants. We can have a sensible policy if we sat down with sensible people. The problem is the people in charge are Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, and Mitch McConnell. And when it comes to this issue, I've seen no sense from any of them.
Congressman, we have just 1 minute until the break, not quite enough time to put another caller on. Yeah. And it's a hard break. Do you know, Paul Ryan, there was a DACA bill that would have passed and Paul Ryan refused to allow a vote on it. You've got that. You've got this wall thing. You've got this child separation thing. You know, my guess is that these are all playing to the racist base, period, full stop. That's really that's the beginning and end of their political equation on the Republican side. Do you think I'm wrong?
I completely agree. In fact, Tom, it's a twofold. One, they got to keep their base. And that's of that 35%, I would argue it's about half of their base comes from that mentality. And two, they're afraid of being primaried because of how they've gerrymandered districts. That's why we have a Tea Party. That's why extremists can get elected now in these either deeply red or deeply blue districts. We don't do a Tea Party. They do. And because of it, they appeal to that racist element.
Yeah, and that's all they need to pull together enough votes to then do the bidding of the billionaires and the big corporations.
Which is why they may not be a political party at the end of this. You follow a cult and you follow racists, and eventually you don't have a political party.
Amen. Amen. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark, Friday edition, here on the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
More of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this break. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line taking your calls for the hour. It's the Friday edition of Middays with Mark. Russ in Hickory Hills, Illinois. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Pocan. Yes, when's the pushback from the Democratic Party start to come on TV with ads about what they're doing with these kids and Donald Trump just being a liar? Because let's be frank, we're letting this guy get away with too much. I mean, every time he opens his mouth, it's our fault. And I mean, the guy is, it's always Democrats. And we can't afford nothing, but we got $1 trillion military, but we can't afford exercises. But we could afford $2 trillion in tax cuts. Are you guys going to push back with TV ads, or as the guy from Tennessee said, you don't want to poke the bear because you don't want to rile him?
I don't know about the bear comment. I can tell you this, Russ. I don't know if we're going to buy ads because that may not make sense, but there's plenty of ability to get press on it. That's why I'm going with a half a dozen people, members of Congress and the Senate. On Sunday, we're going down to Texas with Senator Merkley. The next day, I know there's another delegation. The next weekend, I think there's two more delegations, but we're in session in the middle of the week. People are doing things. We've introduced a bill. There's a lot going on. We had members this week. I was in a markup for 8 hours in appropriations, but we had members who tried to get arrested and couldn't get arrested to try to raise awareness. They were out in the street with activists. I don't know how much the corporate media is picking up, but there are a lot of things happening from members. But better yet, there's a lot of things happening from people across the country who are incredibly outraged by this immoral action.
Len in Woodmere, New York. Len, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. It was a great day today seeing Paul Manafort go to jail. But the reason I called is I wanted to offer the Democrats and anyone else a very simple way of talking about the economy that even Donald Trump will understand. And that is that back in 2009, we had a terrible recession, and Barack Obama stepped up to the tee and took a swing, and the ball went sailing, and it was kept sailing. And in 2017, Donald Trump stepped up to the tee, pointed to the ball, and said, "Hey, look at that. Look what I did." And I think that's a very easy, effective, and Trumpian response.
Yeah. Len, I hear you. I can tell you, unfortunately, I've seen some polling, multiple polls, where people don't necessarily make the connection from Obama to Trump in some cases. In some cases, it's because people are literally blinded, and you could say color-blinded, because it was Barack Obama who did it, and they don't want to give him any credit. But, if you want to talk messaging, and I'll tell you, there's some, I think, good things happening, Tom. We've had some recent meetings with our people who are doing the messaging going into November, and I feel like they're coalescing around a value statement, which I think is better than a litany of bills, and I think it's going to be far more powerful. But, I've always thought the most simple economic message we could possibly put out, and it's not just economic, but the most simple message we could have is one that Paul Wellstone, a former U.S. senator from Minnesota, used to say, which is, we all do better when we all do better. It's very simple. You can take it a number of different directions. But instead of, HR, then you have a number, or talking about a bill, or, we start talking about intersectionality and other terms that maybe aren't super understood across the country everywhere, it's so much easier to do something like, we all do better when we all do better. And I hope that whatever messaging people use this November, it's something that really makes people think in a very simple way about how true that statement is.
Amen. Anne, and Mayville, Michigan. Hey, Ann, what's up? You're on with Congressman Pocan.
Good afternoon, Congressman and Tom. I just have a very quick question, and it has to do with the female immigrant children. From what I've been understanding is that they've been separating the boys from the girls. Where are the girls?
You know, I honestly don't have the answer for that, Ann. And I will have it, though, for you next week, because hopefully I'm going to have a chance to ask all these questions and see it up front and close on Sunday. But I don't know. I know that we are visiting a Brownsville Children's Shelter, so I'm not sure if the children are separated there by gender or not, or if they're at different facilities or just separated within the facility. We're going to an ICE detention center. We're going to a few other places. So I will make sure I take that question. I apologize. I don't know it offhand, Ann. So I just can't give you a better answer at this point.
Laura in Chicago, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, hi, Representative Pocan. Thank you so much for going down there. This inhumanity is just unconscionable. You can't even sleep at night because it's so inhumane. So thank you for going down there. We can't wait for your report. But I wanted you to tell us what your thoughts are about this. Nancy Pelosi has been out saying that she thinks impeachment would be out of the question if the House is taken by the Democrats in after November. And I can't imagine a more a bigger wet blanket being put over the Democrats, you know, going into the November elections. Is that your understanding of what she's been saying, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, first of all, no. I know that she's trying to say she doesn't want us, you know, she doesn't think we should talk impeachment right now at the election cycle, but I think what we've been saying as members, I'm not putting words in Nancy's mouth, but I can tell you where I think the vast majority of members are at is, you know, we realize that we have to, with the current majorities, convince Republican members. And that's going to take, I think, the Mueller report, which is why Giuliani said it should end. It's why they've been trying to kill the report for months and months now, because it is damning enough that you will find Republicans who will also vote for this. So I think Nancy, I've seen her talk more in a campaign context about that. I've not heard her say that she doesn't think we should take it up. Should we take the majority? I think she has said, let's let the Mueller investigation happen, for very practical reasons where we are as a Congress right now. But, you know, I think there will be plenty of questions once the Mueller report is done. And I think at that point we have a chance to convince Republicans as well that we need to act.
Anthony in Georgetown, Kentucky, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Congressman, I'm concerned about this IG report. With all the stuff coming out and potentially branching out even into more investigations, because I know that the Inspector General has more investigations other than what's going on right now, but concerning the midterms and even 2020, what kind of hangover do you think this is going to cause? And I'll listen. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Inspector General report is being way overblown, quite honestly, and being purposely misconstrued to try to somehow say the Mueller investigation should stop. Was James Comey the most talented manager you've ever seen in a federal agency? No. But I think that's what the report really essentially said. But it didn't say that there's any reason not to be doing the investigation. In a mere 16 or so months, there have been 23 indictments for good reason. So they're going to try to spin this Inspector General report, but so far they're not trustworthy on any of these issues, and I've seen that in poll after poll after poll.
They being who?
The Republicans are not being trusted, especially Donald Trump is not seen as trustworthy. So as they put all these barriers out there for people to think there's a reason to stop the Mueller investigation, every single public opinion poll I've seen, people want it to continue. So it's part of their subterfuge. It's part of now Giuliani's rhetoric. That's all the more reason why we in a grassroots way need to make sure that we're connecting with groups like MoveOn and Public Citizen and others that are part of this coalition to make sure that we're in the streets should they try to end this investigation, because I strongly feel that this investigation is going to lead to something very, very significant, and that's why they're doing everything they can to try to stop it.
Leonard in South Pasadena, California, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Leonard? You coming?
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, hello.
Leonard, you're on the
How
air.
How are you doing today?
You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to mention racism itself is just designed to keep people apart, of course. And there should only be one race, the human race, so we can really, you know, stop dividing ourselves. Have you heard of 5150?
No.
5150 in L.A. is a police code for if you're danger to yourself or danger to others, you go to the mental institution. Question, are there some corporations that are a danger to others?
Not sure quite what to make of that, Congressman.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of it either, Leonard. Let me go maybe for the first part of your comment, because I'm not quite sure on the second. You know, this administration has brought racism to, for some people, to be okay to now do without wearing sheets. And we've seen that in things like Charlottesville and others that's been extremely, I think, depressing to see. But it's also brought a conversation out that we're now having this. And this is, it's racism. It's discrimination based on someone's religion or non-religion. It's so many things that we are now talking about. I would argue at the end of the day, we're going to come out of this stronger as a country. It's going to be tough right now. It's terrible to see actions like what's happening at the border. But it is making us live up to maybe a negative face that still exists. And we all need to collectively fight racism together.
Very, very well said. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour, taking your calls. It's the Friday edition of Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program, your media support group for We the People. You can contact Congressman Pocan by tweeting him at Rep Mark Pocan, M-A-R-K-P-O-C-A-N. And, of course, his website, pocan.house.gov. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
More of your calls for Congressman Mark Pocan right after this. And welcome back. Chris in McKenna, Washington. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hello, Tom and Congressman Pocan. I have a quick question and I'll take it off the air. And I would like to have Tom and Mark Pocan talk and discuss their differences on what we accomplished or what Trump accomplished in a giveaway, or you call it a giveaway, I'm having a brain fart at the moment, and when they got together a couple, 3 days ago. And I'll take that off the air. Thank you.
Congressman?
Yeah, I think we're talking about North Korea.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So, you know, this is a complicated one. This week at the Progressive Caucus, we had folks from some of the groups that we work with and respect on this issue. You know, I have always said and will always say diplomacy is the way we need to proceed on any international issue. We don't need to jump to war all the time. We need to get more of our troops home, period, and we need to have a more sane defense budget. However, having said all of that, I look at this meeting, and what I'm worried about is, you know, for Donald Trump, he's now bored, and he's going to move on to his next issue. He's just going to wait for the Nobel to land on his lap, and not a lot necessarily came out of it. You know, the real work will happen when people continue to have conversations. Generally, these things have a lot of conversations that go on for sometimes years first, and then we get an agreement. In this case, Donald Trump thinks he has an agreement without any details whatsoever. The scary part is it's now going to be Pompeo and Bolton who supposedly are at the table, which is maybe not the best face forward to try to find peaceful solutions. And from people that I trust and respect, I think there are many people who still think that there's no way the Kim family, who've been running now three generations, North Korea, are ever going to give up their nukes, because without them, you know, their economy is extremely small. It's about $40 billion compared to $5 trillion in Japan. You know, they have huge malnutrition problems. The average North Korean is about 4 inches shorter than a South Korean because of bad nutrition, we're being told. There's so many issues that they still have in North Korea that to somehow think that something especially positive came out of it, I don't want to denigrate the fact that I want diplomacy and I hope there are ongoing conversations that get us to having a denuclear situation and have the existing on paper war between North and Korea, South Korea end. But I have lots of concerns with how Donald Trump is handling this and will handle this. And I'm actually looking quite a bit to the South Korean leader, who I think is a leader in human rights, for some guidance. Because let's face it, there are still amazingly large human rights violations that exist in North Korea.
Yeah. We have 30 seconds to the break. Do you see this playing out? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think, you know, let's hope that Donald Trump just doesn't get bored and go away. I mean, at this point, we now have to have real conversations. I get nervous again with Pompeo and Bolton having those conversations, where that leads us. But, you know, this was barely opening the door to a much larger conversation that has to happen if we're going to have peace, not only in that region, but also human rights brought to the people who actually live in North Korea.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of the more, actually, the United Nations 4 years ago said that North Korea is analogous in many ways to the Nazi Germany. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Anyhow, Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls here on the Tom Hartman program. It's Middays with Mark, our Friday edition. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. Congressman Mark Pocan with us, taking your calls for the hour. It's our Friday edition of Middays with Mark. Steve in Park Ridge, Illinois, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes. Hey, Tom. This is Steve, the self-described concerned citizen. I wanted Congressman Pocan and your listeners to be aware that the Parkland, Florida students are starting a national bus tour this evening in Chicago. Their overall plan is to visit 75 cities over the next 2 months and build awareness for the need for comprehensive gun reform, and also to encourage the young to actually register and get out and vote. I might mention that tonight at St. Sabina Church, home of the somewhat famous activist priest, Father Flager, Emma Gonzalez, Jennifer Hudson, Chance the Rapper, and Gabby Giffords are all scheduled to speak. So I think it's kind of nice that the Parkland students, the mass shooting survivors, designated Chicago, where we have even more people killed on a, you know, weekly, monthly basis, but maybe doesn't get the visibility that the mass shooters get, all joining forces.
Congressman?
Yeah, Steve, I mean, thanks for bringing that up. I know they're coming through Wisconsin as well. You know, they've been extremely powerful lobbyists, better than any 7-8-figure lobbyist here in D.C. in effectiveness, in that they're speaking authentic. They've got a voice from their real experience, and I'm hopeful that this is going to have a real impact as we try to move legislation forward to really address the gun portion of gun violence.
David in Columbus, Ohio, listening to WGRN. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hi, Congressman. Ohio suffered bad government for a while, and Ohio has had a gerrymandered district for state representatives, and we need to have standards for voting and for districting nationwide. Since a recent Supreme Court decision, I think that's even more important. So is there anything in the works for the Democrats on that?
Yeah, good news is, you know, we've had a working group for a while that John Sarbanes from Maryland has been the lead on. I'm one of the vice chairs, and we have a bunch of us who actually are vice chairs who are working on this issue. And we recently, as part of the efforts going towards November, the Democrats have a whole package of things around ethics and campaign finance and election accountability that we're putting forward. So should the majority change, we're saying we're making a commitment to pass these things. So I'm hopeful, and I'm glad to see that, because, you know, I've had several bills from our conversations on this show around things like cross-check, because we just had that Supreme Court decision that was a terrible decision in allowing Ohio to do what they did. We've got bills on election integrity, and we're hoping that it should the faces of Congress change in November, we've got some real ability to put that in place and make our democracy stronger.
Mark in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan. Mark? Okay, let's try Martha in Chicago. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, gentlemen. I had a question for Congressman Pocan about campaign finance when a politician gets money to run his campaign, his or her campaign. I think sometimes they get to keep a portion of it when they leave office. And I'm wondering if this is a handled state by state, because Paul Ryan is leaving, but he was given $500,000 by the Koch brothers after he helped pass the tax scam. So he's going to be sitting pretty. And I don't know if you can answer this question about how much they will walk away with.
Sure. I can answer it from a federal level, and I can probably somewhat answer it from a state level. I was a state legislator for 14 years before coming to Congress. So we can't anymore. I think at one time you could, years ago. It was your money. Now we can give it to a nonprofit, but there are very strict rules about that we can't get any access to that money. So I'm not worried about Paul Ryan is raising money right now for his team. He's doing it in a very wrong way, right? Passing tax bills that give these giant breaks to the Koch brothers and others, and then getting money for the overall election efforts. But he's not going to walk away with anything. I can tell you that state laws vary a lot. In Wisconsin, I couldn't take a cup of coffee from a lobbyist. Anything of value, even a cup of coffee. But in Texas, unless it's changed in the last several years, you could take a trip to Las Vegas with a lobbyist as long as they traveled with you. In fact, they could take a group of legislators. So it does vary quite a bit state by state. And, you know, it's something that, again, if you're going to have a good, vibrant democracy, you have to take away potential for special interest to corrupt the process.
Back in the, you know, a few years back when Stephen Colbert was doing the Colbert Report, he created a super PAC and had a lawyer come on and explain how if you have a super PAC and then you leave office, you can actually use that money for yourself. You just have to do it in certain ways, like your pay for your home office, pay for your car, those kinds of things. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, and it probably, I mean, it's true probably of, it might even be true of a campaign account, but certainly of some of the other PACs, but you could never, like, take it for an income. Like, you can't take as a salary or anything, but you could cover your expenses if you keep the entity as an operating entity.
Yeah, or if you wanted to go to Turkey on a fact-finding mission.
Yeah, and you could scam the system in some other way.
Yeah, amazing. Congressman Pocan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, Tom, and I look forward to reporting back next week on Texas.
I look forward to it, too. Thank you. Congressman Mark Pocan, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at RepMarkPocan. We'll be back. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.